With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello everyone, my name is Ryan Stacey and welcome to the Hockey Minds podcast. This podcast is powered by Instat, the leader in video and data analysis. Instat Hockey supports all levels of our game worldwide with video breakdowns and or scouting services. For more information, visit Instat on the web at instatsport.com or on Twitter at Instat Hockey. Today I'm joined by Jani Vuorinen, Director of Player Personnel with Jokerit of the KHL and Chief European Scout with NHL Central Scouting. Jani is an established European hockey mind with a track record for scouting elite players. Add in his management experience and connections to some of the best hockey minds in the game, and you get an outstanding guest that has shared a lot of interesting knowledge throughout this interview. With that, here's Jani Vuorinen, Director of Player Personnel with Jokerit of the KHL and Chief European Scout with NHL Central Scouting. As the hockey season moves along, so does the basketball season, and fans know that it won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before, as every dunk, steal, and assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. And baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the podcast, we're joined by Jani Vuorinen, Director of Player Personnel with Jokerit of the KHL. Jani, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. It's my pleasure to be part of this great program and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conversation. And as I tell people, a lot of times we generally have North American guests. So anytime we can get some European influence in some different leagues on the podcast, I think it's always exciting. And definitely with your current position in the KHL and also your involvement with NHL Central Scouting, you know, there's a lot to unpack and a lot of different things that we can go into. But before we do that, let's just learn about you personally, maybe tell people where you're from, talk about your upbringing and playing sports throughout your youth.
Thank you. Yeah, I was born to the hockey family in Finland. My dad is, he was a former player and high executive in the Finnish Hockey Federation and also in the Finnish League later on, and doing some other stuff with the hockey. And so I was born in Turku, but then we moved to Kerava, which is the city close to Helsinki. So I lived there my childhood and played junior hockey there. And then in the under 18, I moved to play to Jokerit, and then I was in North America for one season in under 20, and pretty much that's the shortly my career. But I've been playing hockey for all my life. Started as a, I think I was six years old, and it's been my sport. I tried many other sports like football and things like that, but hockey was always my passion and still is.
Yeah, and when you have that passion early on, you definitely want to pursue it as a career if you can. And for you, that first step was going into school and looking to see how you can maybe involve sport into your schooling and future career. And maybe just talk about your schooling experience overall and your thought process in pursuing sport and leisure with a coaching specialty and then sport management.
Yeah. I was playing at the time. I was playing in Mestis level in Finland, but I pretty much knew that I need to focus also on the school. That I had a slight chance to become a, maybe a league player, but I thought that I need to study a lot, and that was the right school for me. I was looking some NCAA colleges in North America, but I was lucky enough to get into college in Vierumäki, and I graduated with the bachelor's degree, and that was a great school. We had a great group of guys, and many of them have done a great career in the hockey, either in coaching or management. So I think that group, that was a special group there, and our German or the head teacher was Erkka Westerlund, who is very famous Finnish coach, has done a lot of good things in the with the Finnish national team, and also coaching KHL, and that was a really great year. So I really enjoyed my time in Vierumäki, and after I graduated with the bachelor's degree, then I was working for a couple of years, and then I went back to school to do my master's also in Vierumäki. So always the education has been a big part of my career, and also my mindset that I wanna improve and learn myself also academically too, and that's been a very very good thing for me in my career.
Yeah, I think anytime you can add that academic background or just, you know, different courses, things like that, it can really put you in the right path to eventually take a position in the sport or whatever career you decide to go in. But for you, obviously, hockey was the passion and you would continue on that route. And maybe a few positions, obviously, before your position now. One of them I want to talk about is your time in Italy with the Torino Bulls. Just talk about that position and also the difference in working in a non-traditional hockey market such as Italy.
Yeah, basically. At the time I was with the Torino Bulls, I was living in Finland. And the connection to the Torino was that my dad was the high hockey executive, and he was in charge of the hockey in the Torino Olympics 2006. And before that, or at the time he was planning the Olympics, he was one season part helping the local team, Torino Bulls, which was playing in the highest league in Italy. And so he was helping the GM there, and so I became involved for that, and I was helping them building the team. I knew a lot of players, even though I was still playing and studying in Finland, and I was helping them on the scouting and trying to find the team. And even though I didn't live in Italy, it was an interesting part to, of course, be part of the how to build the team out of the scratch. We had a lot of foreign players. We had clearly the smallest budget in the league, and that was also the lockout season. So there was some NHL players in the league, but the team stayed in the top league, and that was the biggest part. And good experience. Of course, it was very very different to work in Italy, like a non-traditional hockey market compared to what I was used to in Finland with the teams I was playing and things like that. And yeah, you can sell things were different in Italy than in back in the bigger markets.
Definitely. But, you know, anytime you can get a new experience and maybe see the game of hockey and especially management from a maybe a different league perspective or just a different process of how things are done. It definitely, again, builds your resume and prepares you for situations moving forward. The next position I want to talk about is your times with the Blues in the Liga as a director of player personnel and manager. Just talk about how you made it into that position and then what you learned through that venture.
Yeah. After I graduated from the school, actually I started scouting with the central scouting before, and I started to build up my name a little bit in the Finnish hockey market, and eventually there was an opening with Espoo Blues, what was the they had a good junior system, and their men's team was really good in the Finnish league. There was an opening as a sport director, and then I got talks with their CEO, and I was lucky enough to get that position, and I had a really great years with Espoo Blues, four years. We had a good success. We went to the finals on the men's level, and I was in charge of the junior program, the under 20, under 18, under 16, and one season we went to the finals in all those teams, under 16, under 18, under 20, and the league, and that was the huge success in the Finnish league. And of course I was pretty young at the time I got the position, and everybody there was a lot of doubts that how can I handle that, but I had a good coaching staff there, good players, and it was a big learning process also for me, and that really improved my professional career, which I really feel that because I got the big role there to really do everything on the sports side, make a decision, hire coaches, hire players, be in charge of the juniors too, and that was a great time in Espoo and really helped me with my career.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great step for your development, and as you talked about being young and still having the flexibility to really work with a number of different, you know, a couple of different teams and have control in different areas. I think that, again, just signals a great opportunity and one that you definitely want to pursue in the game, especially when you can have freedom at a young age. I mean, that is, you know, whether you succeed, which you guys did, or, you know, maybe not have a greatest tenure, as we've heard from other guests in the past, it just offers an opportunity to learn and, again, grow your skill set overall. So for you, following that opportunity, you would then move in with Jokerit. Just talk about the transition to that team and maybe walk us through your experience with the program thus far.
One season before the Jokerit moved to KHL, their owner at the time, Jallis Harkimo, introduced that Jokerit will move to KHL, and a couple months before that, Jarmo Kekäläinen, who was the former GM with Jokerit, he moved to Columbus, and Jokerit was looking new GM to the team, and actually it's a kind of funny story. I was the sport director in Espoo, and the owner Harri Harkimo, who was at the summertime, he was running the Jokerit sports, as there were no GM at the point, and he called me that he wanted to make a trade with the one goalie I had in Espoo. We had a goalie, Mikko Koskinen, who eventually played in KHL and now with the Edmonton Oilers, and we had him at the time in Espoo, and Harkimo called me and tried to make a trade. Actually, it was not very good trade for Espoo. So right away we said no chance. We are not gonna do that. And on the same call, Jallis then asked that, can we talk about our position we have opening in Jokerit? And so maybe he was testing me that am I easy GM to deal with. But like I said, we could handle the deal. And then I had some discussions with Harkimo about the opening in Jokerit position, and talks went on for let's say month or month and a half, and then Jokerit made a decision that they want to hire Jari Kurri as a GM and myself to be the director of player personnel. Maybe the title is not correct. Pretty much the assistant GM, because we are only two little smaller staff with Jokerit on the main side. So they decided as we kind of move to KHL, we kind of have two guys. So that's the way it started with Jari Kurri as a GM and myself as his right hand man. And after 8 years, we are still doing it together, and that's the way it started.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being able to be there for a number of years, and obviously Jari Kurri, a name that many people, both in Europe and North America, will know for his success in the game. It's you know, a great environment for you to work, and you've seen a number of great players go through that program and been successful in the KHL, and even some that have moved to North America, which we'll talk about later. Another key component of your career at the moment is your involvement with NHL Central Scouting, as we hinted at earlier. And you talked about starting at very young and then continuing with it to the point where you're now the one of the chief scouts with European Scouting. Just talk about that position specifically and give listeners a general sense of what that role entails for you personally.
It was the 2005 World Championships were in Vienna and Innsbruck, and I was there watching the games with my dad, and Jöran Stubb was there also, and he's the director of European Scouting for NHL, and he's been running that position since the year 83, if I remember correct, and we were watching their games, and he asked that. Of course, we talk about the players a little bit and games, and then he asked that. I guess he liked me, because he asked that, am I interested to work with him? And that's the way it started. I right away got interested on the scouting. I was studying coaching, and maybe was a little bit thinking that what I want to do, is it the moral management or coaching side? More and more, I had a feeling that the scouting and management part, that's more for me than coaching, and that's the way it started with the Central Scouting. And after first couple of years, I was maybe a little bit smaller role, but then Jöran promoted me for the Chief European Scouting, and I've been doing that since then. We have a really great staff in Europe. We have a lot of experience, many of our scouts in Czech and Sweden or Switzerland, they've been doing it more than me, even though I've been there already 16 years. So that, I think that tells a lot about Jöran also as a boss, because many guys really like to work with him. And but overall, we are in charge of the European scouting. We do the Central Scouting, the European ranking, and we help the scouts in Europe. There's a various tournaments during the normal season, not in the COVID time, but during the normal year. We attend the tournaments, we do the game reports, and of course, then comes the combine and draft. And so we are kind of like a second opinion to every team. Every team, they have scouts pretty much in all the countries, but then we are like a second opinion, and we try to help all the NHL teams equally and give them their opinion, and then they use it how much they really feel is good for them.
Definitely. And I think anytime you're in a central scouting position, even we see junior leagues in the CHL and USHL have a league scouting, kind of same situation. But I think just having that second opinion is really beneficial to the teams, and especially in Europe, where you said, you know, you've been there 16 years and you have scouts that have been there longer than you, you know, just the amount of experience there alone, it is a benefit to the teams, and they can really, you know, put some trust into those opinions and really take your word for what it is. And I think that's just a very unique opportunity. And a lot of people, you know, maybe don't think about that as a way to be involved in NHL, but it's definitely a very demanding role and allows you to be involved in that capacity as well. During the season, you know, you're dealing with that role, you're dealing with your role in Jokerit, you know, there's only so much time to do different things. maybe just break down what a week looks like for you in a regular season and just some of the tasks that you deal with, say, Monday to Friday and on the weekends.
Of course, it's a tough to give like a normal week, because it depends with the Jokerit, are we on the road or are we staying in Helsinki and playing home games. But let's try to put it that way, that if we stay in the home, of course I'm in part of the daily basis, watch the Jokerit practice, and then on the evenings I go to the games, either in the Finnish league or Mestis league or under 20 league in Finland, and I scout the players. And in Helsinki area, that's a pretty good spot. You can travel with less than 1 hour to many rinks and watch the many games. And I think it sounds a lot, but with the right kind of planning and good timetable, and so it helps the both organization, either my team or center scouting. And I've been running it so long that I have a pretty good feel that we which games I should go or which not, and find the balance. But of course, a lot of work, a lot of live games, and more than 200 live games during the season. And then of course travel is different when you're on the road either with the team or with the scouting. And a lot of work, but when you really enjoy it and it's your passion, and I'm lucky enough to get paid for this game I love, so I feel it really good at the moment.
Yeah, I think any time that you can get paid to watch hockey and give your thoughts on players, it's almost a dream job. And definitely scouts who have been on the podcast have always said that when you're in the rinks and watching those elite players, most times it really isn't a job. It feels more like a hobby, and it's kind of surreal that you're able to do that on a daily basis. But definitely interesting to hear just the management that goes into juggling both positions, but something that you've quote unquote kind of mastered over the number of years that you've been doing it. Watching so many games in Finland, the hockey culture in Finland is so unique, and there's so many great players coming out of that area. And just over the years watching it, how have you seen the game grow, and has the KHL's influence as of late changed maybe that trajectory or brought in some new coaching ideologies or changed the way that the game is played at all?
Of course, when Jokerit joined the KHL, that was a big discussion in Finland, that how it could help the game with the Finnish players and things like that. And I think KHL in last 7 years, that's really improving as a league. The salary cap has been working well now in the last year. There's a really good coaches, teams are, there's a hard pressure for wins, and the teams are doing good job in Russia on the player development. And also we need to learn from that in Finland, that we can keep up the level what is the in international competition. And also when at the same time when Jokerit moved to KHL, Finnish league made some changes with the number of teams there is, and now there is a 15 teams, so there is a lot of good opportunities for young Finnish player in the Finnish league, as they can't pay that much money, so maybe the best players are leaving from the league, but that gives a lot of room for the young players in the Finnish league, and that's been good. And also you can see in the we've had a lot more first round draft picks out of from Finland than let's say 20 years ago. So overall, I think it's been good, even though there's been a lot of discussion that what's been good for Finnish hockey. But there's many ways to develop it, and this has been one way.
Yeah, and I think whenever there is change, especially in the way that players are developed, it sparks conversation. You look at USA Hockey and how much they've kind of changed the way that they develop their players with the U.S. national program, where they have one elite team, and in Canada it's kind of spread out throughout the CHL in three different leagues. And obviously in Europe there's different systems with the programs having the U20, U18, and you know, it just goes to show that there are different ways to develop players. But definitely was interested in seeing how the KHL influence changed things there. And you know, it's pretty evident that recently we're seeing a lot of players coming out of Finland and a lot of European countries as well. So moving into European countries and just talking about the continued growth, you know, Jari Kurri is a name that you mentioned there earlier, kind of started with him and has really grown over a number of years. We're even seeing places like Germany with Leon Draisaitl and some of these other countries just producing elite players. Having the opportunity to scout a lot of these players over the last number of years, just talk about the trends that you're seeing and the growth of, you know, non-traditional European countries and just the overall player development for elite players in Europe.
Yeah, I think overall, let's put it that way, that in the Ice Hockey World Championships, there has been a lot of countries in many years, and the IIHF, there has been some complaints that are that those smaller countries, should they be in the A pool or should we have a smaller amount of teams in the A pool? But I think overall that has helped grow the game. Like the smaller countries, when they can play in the A pool against Canada or Finland, or when Denmark can play Germany, of course it's already, you know, many years in the A pool. But like those smaller countries, when they've been in the A pool, that creates a good atmosphere during the World Championships in their country, and small kids can see that maybe one day I can play it there and want to develop as a hockey player. And I think that's been good for the especially European hockey, that many smaller countries there is more kids involved in the game, and they want to learn. And of course, the other thing is that the NHL is so big in the Europe too. You can see NHL in many channels and all the highlights, and kids are talking about those players. So that's the other thing what has grown the game, that they want to do the same things than Crosby's and Ovechkin's and those guys on the NHL, and that they watch the daily basis their highlights on the YouTube or whatever social media. So the game is so much closer to young people in Europe than it was. You mentioned Jari Kurri, and I've been talking him a lot about hockey, of course, since working him with many years. And when he moved to NHL on the 80s, he didn't know really anything about the NHL, or he knew some players, Gretzky maybe, or Bobby Orr or whoever, but he didn't know much about NHL. And now you ask the 10-year-old boy, he knows tons of things about NHL. So that's a big thing, that the game is so much closer, even though it's so far away.
Yeah, it's really great to see just how connected everybody's become and how worldwide you're seeing the NHL really go. And I'd say the same thing about the KHL. You know, a lot of times people in North America weren't able to see it, and now we're seeing it. It's coming up on Twitter, and we're able to watch it on different channels, and you know, still making that transition. So in that sense, it's kind of working both ways. And like you said, younger players are now being more aware of the elite players around the world, where it wasn't really an option in the past. With Jokerit, a couple of players that have recently made the transition to the NHL are Mikko Lehtinen and Eli Tolvanen. You've been able to probably see them a lot and work with them a little bit. Just talk about what you've seen from both of them and their development over the last couple of years.
Yeah, of course, their story is a little bit different. Eli was a first round draft pick, and then after the draft, he made a surprising decision to sign with Jokerit and play 1 year in KHL, and he made a huge success with Jokerit, and he was a really good player for us. Then he went to a couple of years to the or signed with Nashville, and then he played a couple of years in AHL, and now when this season started, of course there was a delay on the when the NHL will start. So the Nashville, we were lucky enough to get Eli Eli to start the season with us, and he played with Jokerit until the Christmas time and or early December, and I think I could see that he was really matured in those 2 years. He was away from us, and you could really see that his game was improving. Like overall game was improving. He always had that talent to shoot the puck and score, and the confidence, the boost he got from us playing in with us, and then went to the training camp with Nashville, and now everybody can see that now his talent is there all the time, but now he's more complete player with Nashville, and I think the coaches trust him more, and it's really great to see that now he's a good player for Nashville. Then on the other side, Lehtonen Mikko, he never got drafted. He was a good player in the Finnish junior national team, but he never got drafted. Played in the Finnish Mestis League, then signed with the Finnish league teams. Went to the Sweden, and then we scouted him from there. And last year he was the best defenseman out of NHL, and then on the summertime he signed with Toronto. Now already in the Columbus, but he's a more story that the player who has improved with the hard work, daily basis. He's so focused to improve, and I think in the end he will be a good player in NHL too. To both of those guys, I think they really improved the KHL hockey. The rinks are getting smaller in KHL. Teams are so tough, and on every game you need to play at your best to achieve some results in KHL. So I think both of those guys, they really improved in during their time with Jokerit, and really looking forward to see how their career develops.
Definitely, you know, two very well-known players, and Lehtonen was definitely a well-spoke about name going to the Toronto Maple Leafs, now with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and just two players that have shown that, you know, you don't have to make that jump right away. You can take some time to develop, and whether it's in AHL or in the KHL, or Lehtonen, you know, in Sweden, and taking a completely different route there, en route to Jokerit as well. Just you know, every player develops at their own rate, and when done properly, you can still succeed, even if the opportunity to play at the highest level isn't there, you know, maybe right after they get drafted or right away as an 18-year-old. So a great, you know, breakdown of two of those players. But another thing I want to talk about here is the fact that a lot of players, maybe with North American backgrounds, will make the transition to European hockey and be very successful. In Jokerit, you've had a number of different players with North American backgrounds see success with your team. So maybe just talk about a few who you've seen, you know, really succeed in that transition and become good players for your club.
Yeah, we've had a good success with some of the imports, and maybe one guy I can mention by name at the moment is Brian O'Neill. He was a smaller guy. I played at the Yale, had a good career at the Yale, and then I signed with LA Kings, played with the Manchester Monarchs, won the AHL there, was the MVP on the AHL playoffs, but never really got the chance to play NHL, maybe a little more than 20 games with the Devils at the time, and we were lucky enough to sign him to Jokerit 5 years ago. He really struggled the first 20 games. I think many, let's put the Russian teams maybe could have fired him, but then we all the time saw that he has the talent and he works hard, but the goals didn't come to him, and then he picked up his game, and he's been one of the best players in the KHL for the 5 years now with us, and I think during the five-year time span, he has scored the fourth most points in the KHL. So he's been a really good player for us, and we were lucky enough to sign him a three more years last season. And he even has a nickname, Mr. Helsinki. So maybe he's a more Finn now than North American.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, definitely a player that I had researched, and I figured his name would come up in the conversation. But great to see when a player, again, finds an opportunity in a different league and is able to contribute to success in the KHL, which, as everybody knows, is an elite league for hockey. And, you know, again, there's so many different development routes, and, you know, wherever you go, there's different techniques you can learn and different styles of the game. And a lot of times for people in management, scouts and coaches, you want to learn these styles as well. And you can learn it from connecting with people in the industry. And the people at My Hockey Resource have created a platform to allow you to do that. They have scouts, managers, coaches, analysts, just fans of the game, and some people even other sports who just talk on different topics and talk about different articles, etc. So for anybody looking to learn more, be sure to check out My Hockey Resource on Twitter and Instagram. Yanni, one of the things they talk about on there is just different ways to learn, whether it's through softwares, programs, books, you know, the list is really extensive. For you personally, what are some of your favorite resources that you use, maybe in scouting, management, or just curiosity for the game of hockey?
Yeah, of course. Maybe there's a couple things. I like to go, my priority, of course, when going to the games is the scouting, but then the other thing is to meet the people, talk with the people, and interact with them. Of course, find new info on the players, but that's the biggest thing. Connect with the different kind of hockey minds and talk with them and share ideas. And of course, also the other two things I could point out is that I try to watch a game, improve my knowledge on the hockey, on the different system the coaches try to use on the games, and learn the, and try to evaluate where the hockey is going as a sport. And I also I like the biographies of the different athletes or coaches or managers, and so basically those three things are my main things I try to learn from.
Yeah, the biographies, definitely a favorite of many people on the podcast, and the game itself generally is the best resource, whether it's the people in it and coaches, as we mentioned, or just watching the games and trying to decipher systems. Sometimes that's a great practice, even if you're not with a team, to learn how to pre-scout and pick apart different teams and just have that knowledge, you know, in your back pocket for when an opportunity does come. And a lot of times those opportunities down the road will come through connections and people that you talk to in that learning process. And a lot of times those people can eventually become mentors for people in the game. For you personally, looking back on your career to date, who are some of those mentors who have helped you succeed in the game thus far in your career?
I think that's a pretty easy question. I have three guys I really like to mention. Of course, first of all is my dad. As a like I told before, he was a high hockey executive for many years, and I learned, of course, the life lessons at home, but also the hockey lessons, management, how to manage the organizations, and of course. He speak then Jöran Stubb, who's the director of the Central Scouting in Europe. I've been lucky enough to work with him 16 years, like mentioned earlier. And he has so much wisdom and belief of the people. His experience is enormous. He's been working like 50 years already, 60 years in the hockey business. So everybody knows him. He's an honest man and one of the most trustworthy guys in the business of hockey. And of course, the last guy, Jari Kurri, I've been lucky enough to work right by him for last 8 years. Everybody knows his hockey career, Hall of Fame hockey career. But he's been successful on the management too with the Finnish national team, and now with Jokerit, and so much experience too with and different ideas about the game and players and the management. So definitely those three guys have influenced me most in my hockey career.
Yeah, three great names of people to learn from, and it just goes to show that it's not often just one person. It's, you know, it can be your family members, it's people you work with, or just people that kind of guide you in that right direction. So great to hear you had a number of great people there who were able to teach you and mentor you onto your role today. Maybe turning it around now, being in the position that you are and looking at someone who maybe wants to get into the game for the first time or is trying to figure out how to move into hockey operations, what is one piece of advice that you would give them in hopes that they would be successful?
Maybe a couple things. Of course, the first is to really love the game, find the ways to learn the game, watch the game, be work hard, go to the rinks, meet with the people, and try to connect with the right guys, because of course the connections are really important if you want to get your chance. And then I think when you really get the chance to work somewhere, really enjoy the opportunity, and trust yourself, and that you can do a good job, because always with the honest, hardworking and smart people, then they will get the chance when the opportunity comes.
Yeah, tremendous advice. And like you said, hard work pays off at the end. And you know, if you really put your passion into it and put your full efforts into it, you'll be successful. And whether it's at the NHL level, the KHL level, or somewhere else, you know, always enjoy what you're doing, and you'll never really have to work a day in your life. So, Yanni, I just want to thank you again for joining me. I know there's a little bit of a time zone difference that we've had to kind of navigate here, but thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today, and I wish you all the best moving forward.
Very good, Ryan, and have a good luck with your program, and thanks for all the listeners.
All right. Thanks again. All the best.
Thank you.
Support for the Hockey Minds podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Big news, Manscaped just launched in Canada, and for those listeners in Canada, and I know there's a lot of you, you can be one of the first Canadians to experience their life-changing products. Everybody has had that experience where the trimming has not gone right, and we want to change that. So get with Manscaped, who has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, and when I tell you this is premium, this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave, and the waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. Throw in one of the coolest features, which is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming experience. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quad stroke technology, and let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB, and if you are listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HockeyMinds at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HockeyMinds. It's time to shave those balls, eh? I'd like to again thank Yanni for coming on the podcast and breaking down his career and the state of European hockey. Based in North America, I am always interested in bringing in different perspectives, and the opportunity to bring Yanni on the podcast was one that I was excited about, and I'm sure the listeners will agree that it did not disappoint. If you would like to get in touch with Yanni to learn about his experiences more, I encourage you to reach out to him directly, or you can contact HockeyMindsPodcast@outlook.com, and I can help to make that connection for you. On the next episode of the podcast, I'll be joined by Justin Shemmy, head scout with Concordia University. Justin is a young name with NHL experience and should provide another great interview for our listeners, so stay tuned for that release on Sunday. Thanks again to everyone for listening to the podcast and for continually sharing all of our content across our social media platforms. Be sure to share the podcast with friends and provide your feedback as we look to continually grow the Hockey Minds brand. As always, stay safe and all the best.